Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Flacco now down the field again, wide open target. There he is, Tony. Sutton breaks the tackle, and he's going to take it to the end zone for the touchdown.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Game day. Man, I love Thursday Night Football. Love it, Mark Schlereth. Love it. We're already right into another game. Here we go.
Look at you. You're so excited.
Hey,
you're excitable fella.
I don't have to think like a player. I'm a fan, and this is great. I don't have to wait till Sunday for football.
I know it is kind of exciting, right? For us, I mean, normally I'm just like, yeah, whatever, Thursday Night Football. But I'm, you know, this is going to be great. Broncos, Chiefs, Chiefs down. Chiefs got all kinds of injuries right now. People have found the formula to beat the Chiefs.
Give me more. Give me more.
It's exciting. It's exciting. So we'll see what happens.
Well, we're already getting the great 6 a.m. texters already weighing in. Clyde in Windsor. Our things up in Windsor, everybody. Clyde says, guys, this is the biggest regular season game the Broncos have played since 2015. If they lose, you can bet they will have a sale on assets like Harris and maybe Vaughn, build for the future, and activate Lock from IR. If they win, I think they re-sign Harris to an extension, activate Tim Patrick and Theo Riddick from IR, and go full Cleveland Indians in Major League. Only one thing left to do and win the whole effing thing. Either way, it's a watershed moment for the franchise tonight.
I like it.
I like that.
Watershed.
That's a great word.
I love
it.
Good.
More people should use the word watershed.
I don't know exactly what it means, but.
Yeah, why is it called watershed?
No.
You know what? I think that we need some effort in music here,
yeah.
Benny. By the way, I think we just set a record.
Earliest
ever gone to effort in music in a show.
Etymology of watershed.
Okay. Why is it called watershed moment? Hold on. Well, watershed is a geographical term. It's from the meaning that watershed came to mean a turning point or dividing line in a social life. So those moments,
event or period making a turning point in the course of action or state of affairs.
Oh, I think that's perfect. What a great use of
watershed.
Would you say this is a watershed moment for the Denver Broncos franchise?
Right.
Does he have a point?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it does feel like if just a turning point of the season, if in fact you win this game, all of a sudden, you know, you've kind of righted some wrongs. You've figured a few things out. The moves you've made on the defensive side of the ball are panning out. Like, it feels to me to be, you know, it feels to me to be this kind of where it's the catalytic event to shoot you down the rest of the season and actually have a chance to compete for the playoffs. That's what it feels like to me.
Yes, I completely agree, but I would go even further than that it is a watershed moment for the franchise, even maybe beyond this season, because if you win, I think it really does solidify the idea that Joe Flacco is going to be your quarterback for the entire season, which then makes it likely that Joe Flacco is your quarterback next season. It also, I think, further solidifies the idea that John Elway is committed and wants to see this thing through, at least through the end of his contract with a couple more years left. Really believes that this thing is turning around.
Well, yeah.
And if it doesn't happen, think about it. Then you're going to be loose tonight. You're going to be hearing more calls to activate Drew Locke, get him, start ramping him up. You're going to hear, you know, questions about whether or not John is the right guy to fix this thing.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's completely a watershed moment for the season and for the franchise moving beyond this year.
Agreed. Agreed. So we have agreement right now.
Watershed. It's a watershed. It's a watershed.
There will be a quiz later.
Yep.
I'm writing it on my paper. Watershed.
Yep. You think? Here's a good question. All you 6 a.m. listeners, gather around. This is our own little huddle right now, right? Gather around. Bring it in here. What do you think the chances are that if we, like, quiz the 8 a.m. texters with Watershed, they'll even know?
Pecky good brain.
They won't even have any clue.
They'll have no clue.
Yeah.
8 a.m. listeners lack the nuance, the class, the savviness, you
just
know?
The substance in general.
Yeah, yeah, that the 6 a.m. listeners possess. Another one. Win and we're in for this season. Lose and on to 2020 it is. Josh, it's Rocktober, guys. Anything can happen. I feel like the Broncos are finally going to show what it looks like them for them to really run the ball down someone's throat.
Wouldn't that be great? That to me would be awesome, Mike. If that were the case tonight, if they just came and just completely controlled the line of scrimmage, I mean, just controlled the line of scrimmage and ran through the Chiefs, kept Patrick Mahomes and that offense on the sideline, just dominated time possession and ended up finding a way to win this game. I'm telling you what. I mean, I think Bronco fan would be giddy. They would just be beside themselves with joy. Do you think? I mean, don't you think?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
But is it set up that way? Is this, are you convinced that that will be, and we'll get to the keys to victory throughout the course of the morning, but basically, nice tidy bow on this. You just expect them to come out and just challenge the offensive line, challenge Philip Lindsay, challenge Royce Freeman, and just get after the Chiefs.
Right. I think they have to do that, Mike, but if, like, I don't think the Chiefs are just going to roll over. I mean, they're just not going to be like, okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the last couple of weeks we've got thunderstruck in the mouth and we're just rolling over for you guys. It's not like that's going to happen.
Well, I'm sure the Chiefs had a pretty decent idea what was going to come at them from both the Colts and then especially after what happened with the Colts, they had to expect it from the Texans. So just because they had an idea what was coming, it didn't really matter.
Yeah. Yeah, but every week is different, Mike. Every single week is different. Every single week is, a chapter in a 17 chapter book, a new chapter in a 17 chapter book. And so there is some pride there. And, I don't know. I mean, I obviously don't know what's going to happen, but I mean, there's certainly, it's not like as soon as tough times happen, I just don't think the Chiefs are just rolling over. I mean, I don't believe that to be the case, but I mean, that's why they play these damn things, right? So, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited for the opportunity, but I just know. Come on, it's the Broncos. It's never easy with the Broncos.
No. I'm not saying that they're going to blow them out. I'm just, there's an opportunity here.
Uh-huh.
And when the schedule came out and we looked at the Chiefs and we saw Thursday night, I was like, okay. All right. Well, you know what? If you're going to get the Chiefs at home Thursday night, short week, that's not bad. That's not bad. And then.
Yeah.
Now add in what's happened the last couple of weeks, Mahomes' ankle, some of the other injuries. It's like, okay, the football gods have given us a break.
Uh-huh.
It's there within our reach. What are you going to do with it?
Right.
All right. We're going to hear from our buddy Joel Klatt, who gives us his thoughts on when he knew Patrick Mahomes might be the real deal. That's coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank,
banking for good.
Oh, yeah. Get you ready. Get you fired up. Game day. And game week is not complete until we get a chance to talk with Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Flatirons. We get a chance to visit with him each and every week. We bring you the best of here every Thursday morning at this time, which included asking Joel, with all of his Big 12, playing in the Big 12, covering the Big 12, when did he get a sense that Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech could be the real deal?
Well, yeah, I had a few games of his, and I got to tell you, that was the most backyard football I'd ever seen played. I mean, they did not have a great defense. And so it was on him, and I remember talking with, he played for Cliff, and so I remember talking with Cliff one day. We were doing a Texas Tech game, and I was just like, you know, what are your coaching points to Patrick? And he looked at me, and he was like, he goes, I tell him to stay alive as long as he can and throw it wherever he wants. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. And then we started getting into the whole conversation of you know, why and all this stuff. And he said it was because of the unique talent that he was. And that's when I first started to think to myself, hey, maybe this guy is not just a Texas Tech product. You know, I look at the arm strength. I look at his ability to make these crazy throws. And the talent was certainly immense. He understands. He's a very mature kid. I loved meeting with him, all this stuff. And I thought to myself, you know, someone's going to fall in love with him. And I didn't know how high he would get selected. But then another quick story about his entry into the NFL is I thought it was interesting. That draft was in Philadelphia, if you remember. And it was a great environment, obviously. But I was there covering the draft. And for whatever reason, and this very rarely happens, but Fox had put us up at a hotel, and it was the same hotel that all the ESPN people were at. And so there was a lot of, like, breakfasts that we all shared together and everything. And it was kind of a cool experience because I don't get to see those people a lot. But one of them was John Gruden. And Gruden was still working for ESPN. He was doing the draft at the time. And we kind of struck up this little friendship. And so we're having breakfast, and, you know, I'm walking by one day, and he's like, hey, Pat, sit down, man. Sit down. And so I sit down, and we started. And the first thing he says, "Hey, what do you think about Mahomes?" And I told him all of this stuff. I said, "Listen, he's one of the most talented players I had ever covered in the Big 12." And he kind of asked me the same type of question you did. And he said to me, "He said, you know, he's like all of my guys." And then he kind of looks at me with one eyebrow raised, and he goes, "You know, Holmgren guys." He goes, "All my guys, they love him. They see Favre when they turn on the tape." And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I had never put that together. But sure enough, right then he tells me, he's like, one of my guys is going to take him way higher than you think. And that's what Andy did. And so that's the comparison that all of those guys made. And you know what? I know this sounds crazy. It might be even a little better because you don't get the overt recklessness that you got with Favre at some times. He's also probably a little more athletic in terms of improvising outside of the pocket. But I know that's kind of a long roundabout answer to tell you about his process and what I thought coming out of college.
Mark, before you follow up, hold on a second. I've worked with Joel a long time. He's got great talent, acting. But that Gruden impersonation wasn't your best. You might want to maybe recover with a little bit of Harry Carey.
I will not be told when to do Harry Carey. I do not just jump when you say, "What do you think this is? I can't just come out here. How is this guy, you know, behind the back?"
And just when I think you're down, you go and redeem yourself. Well done.
I gotta ask you this though, because here's the thing. I guess I was shocked about Joel.
Ask
more than
away and we'll move along, Mark. You ask for it once, you gotta get it twice.
All right, here's the thing I was shocked about with Patrick Mahomes is that all that talent stuff and all the, you know, arm and angles and all the things that we see him and extending the play and second reaction plays and all that stuff is amazing. What surprised me, I guess, going back to last year is watching him understand defenses, manipulate safeties, and like as a young player, completely have a grasp of the offense. Has that surprised you at all in his transition from, you know, from college to the professional level?
Not really. You know, when I would evaluate Texas Tech, they weren't running like the pure dyed-in-the-wool air raid offense that Mike Leach ran, which was tended to be a little bit more simplistic as it related to defensive reads. You know, what Cliff ran was a mixture. It was kind of air raid principles, and it was mixed in with a lot of what New England did in the passing game. So Cliff would go up to New England because at one point he was a backup up there, and he would go up there every year and got a lot of his offense actually from New England and then married it to the college game in terms of the air raid principles and the tempo and the college like play fast type of a deal. And so that's what they would do. So Patrick in college was probably way more inclined to be reading the defense than, let's say, a Mike Leach quarterback or like Cliff was in college. So that doesn't surprise me all that much. Cliff is incredibly smart when it comes to teaching quarterbacks, understanding defense, and Patrick certainly understood those things in college. There were just times when if it was broken down, he was told to go play like he was on the sandlot. And I think his ability to do that in college to some degree is what has made him such a success in the National Football League, because he can control a game in the pocket, which I've always argued you got to do. It's like a minimum requirement for a quarterback is to control the game from the pocket. By control the game from the pocket, I mean manipulate the defense from the pocket, understand where they are, where they aren't, how you're attacking them, where you're moving players in order to get and create space on the field. But then he's also got this extra gear, and Mike, I used to talk a lot about this, where he can go above the X's and O's and still hurt you. You know, the above the X's and O's player, I've always struggled with how to define it, and I always thought, like, well, just you play above the X's and O's. Above the X's and O's offensive players, when the defense does everything right, they still make the defense wrong. It's one of the most demoralizing things for a defense, and he certainly has that ability, Mark.
Busy with Joel Klatt. He's presented by Audi Flatirons. You're a Broncos fan. You follow this team. You're always observing what's going on with them, no matter how busy you are. So what is your overall view of this team now that they've bounced back with two straight wins and they have this opportunity to kickstart their season in a whole different direction with a win over the Chiefs?
I once observed the sun for over an hour. It burned my eyeballs out.
Can't always trust you to step up.
Right.
All right, answer the question.
Say it again. I don't remember.
What's your overall view of the Broncos now that they've won back-to-back?
Well, I don't know if it's changed all that much. I think that they certainly have a defense and have fallen into a rhythm defensively that they're going to have chances to win on most weeks. And then I think it just becomes about two things offensively. Can you avoid critical mistakes? And then when you get the ball in the scoring zone, do you have the ability to score touchdowns rather than kick field goals? So it's a touch alarming last week that the defense played so dominantly, and yet the offense still had to just settle for field goals. I think that that's one of the things that will get you beat faster than anything else in the league is when you are dominating a football game and at some point it turns around, because it will, and you don't have the two-possession lead or the three-possession lead over your opponent. And when you're still within that possession because you've settled for field goals, you know, you're likely to get beat. So, again, those two things. They're playing great defense. And from my seat, if you can avoid turnovers and then score touchdowns when you're in the scoring zone, I think that ultimately will lead to either the success of this season or the demise of this season. When I look at the schedule, is there a chance to get to 9? Yeah, maybe. I think the defense is going to have to play incredible ball. And then offensively, I don't think that you should think about trying to go out there and do anything that is outside of the box or trying to get into some sort of a shootout or so on and so forth. You've got to do those two things. How do you score when you're in the scoring zone? And then how do you avoid mistakes?
All right, there he is, the best of Joel Klatt / Harry Carey, presented by Audi Flatirons. Coming up next, it is the Morning Brew, and we remember Brock Osweiler. Next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
Well, we're gonna have to be able to move the ball, score points. It's going to be hard to really, really slow their offense down a lot. But, our offense is going to have a good game. No two ways about it.
Okay. So what does that mean? Everybody all week's been talking about they're going to have to run the football, going to have to control the line of scrimmage, time of possession, all of that. Here's what I want to know, because you know me, Mark Schlereth. Running the ball only matters if you have the passing game to make it matter. So tell me when they're going to pass and how is that passing game going to look
Well, I mean, I think that one, Mike, first off, if you've got the running game, you can make the passing game matter. I've been watching Baltimore film for the last couple of days. You run the ball exceptionally well. I'm telling you what, you'll find wide open guys all over the place because the eyes of the defenders just become, they become mesmerized. They become fixated on the running game. And so, you know, my big thing though, watching Baltimore film is the effect the tight ends are having in their system. The effect these guys are having. You run the ball, your play action stuff should be great, especially your play action stuff on second and short and third and short. Should be awesome. You should be all over that. Anytime you're in, you know, four minus situations, third and second and four minus, second and three, second and four, second and two, third and three, third and two, third and four, those things should be wide open. You should have crossing routes and things of that nature wide open. That's where it matters. But you run the ball, those things will happen for you. You want to get great production from your tight ends, run the snot out of the ball. And maybe one of these tight ends will actually have an effective day.
Next on the Morning Brew.
You try to do the same things. Obviously, you kind of cram a little bit on the beginning end of the week, but you try to get things going so that you can kind of go through the same process when you get home at night and, you know, during the day here at work.
Okay, if Joe Flacco is going to be not only the quarterback for the rest of this season, but if the idea is that this can be your guy for beyond this season, and it's no rush to put in Drew Lock, he has to deliver a win today, right? I mean, you've always been Mr. Hey, he can be playing really well even if the record doesn't show it. Well, doesn't tonight it have to be he played really well and they won because of it?
Well, yeah.
Well,
Elway agrees.
Yeah, I know.
Me and John are...
We are simpatico.
Good for you, bud.
Again, what if he plays well and they lose? If he plays well and there's a...
See you later. At some point, a win has to go along with it, Mark. Come on. A win has to... In a game like this, your quarterback has to play well and there has to be a W attached to it.
Why? Okay, so here's a scenario for you. He throws three touchdowns, 330 yards, and they score 31 points, Mike. And Patrick Mahomes throws four touchdowns and throws for 440, and they score 34 points.
And I told you yesterday.
You're going to bench Joe Flacco.
And I told you yesterday.
Because he did out-duel Patrick Mahomes.
If that happens, I will write a blog about it next week.
Apologizing
to you. A blog. I wrote a blog. Not a column.
All right.
A blog.
All right, good.
Okay?
All right, good.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Ball security is job security.
Oh, there goes Brock. The end of Brock Lobster.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Osweiler retired yesterday. Besides that classic quote, what will you remember Brock for?
He was tall. he was tall.
Brock, he's got a big arm. He's very tall.
Yeah, I will remember Brock as just the consummate press conference professional. I mean, come on. That dude automatically, he gave you this feel of invincibility as a football team.
Yes.
Not when he was playing. There was never a moment where you felt confident while he was playing.
No.
But while he was press conferencing, you felt like we got him right where we were.
We're invincible.
Yeah, ball security
is job security.
He would say things, and you'd be like, "Man, they don't even know what's going to hit him."
Is he one of the top
press conference guys in the history?
I was going to say, is he the press conference goat?
Oh, man, was he better than Peyton at the press conference?
Oh, that's a good point, but he's up there.
Like,
all-time Bronco, I mean, he's on the Mount Rushmore of all-time Bronco press conference.
I'm just Peyton Manning. What the hell do I know?
He's one of the best press conference guys that has ever, you know, donned a Broncos uniform.
Okay,
I love Tom Brady!
Okay, and aside.
Uh-huh.
They don't win the 2015 Super Bowl without Brock Osweiler. Simple fact. That is a fact.
100%.
They do not win that Super Bowl. And remember, you and I were in here while the parade was going on. We were kind of anchoring coverage from back here while the parade was going on. And when he was rolling through that parade, rolling through town, the look on his face as he was feeling the love from Broncos fans out there. I mean, he just had this look of just pure bliss.
Right.
And the fans recognized it. They were giving the love right back that, hey, man, without you, this isn't happening. So
you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of The Lion King. When Nala and Simba were just kind of staring at each other underneath the moon.
Yeah.
And Elton John was singing in the background. Can you feel the love tonight? No, not that one.
Oh.
The Love Tonight, but I think it was Elton John. Can you feel the love tonight?
All right, you ready for this? Brock Osweiler. Never started a full season. 15-15 career record. Finished with 37 touchdowns, 31 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Retired before age 30. His career earnings, $41.5 million. Legend.
I'm telling you what.
Just a legend.
Before 30, like what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Nothing.
Nothing. And enjoy it.
Yeah. Today I did nothing.
It was
everything I thought it could be.
It was so good, I think I'm going to do it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Next on The Morning Brew.
We just didn't execute the way we expect our team to. So we just looked like we weren't sharp. And I felt like their team played harder, more physical, a little bit quicker, and more engaged than our group tonight. So it's a tough break in overtime. We had flashes of good and just not enough to sustain good through the course of the night. So that's the way it ends up.
The electrifying Jared Bednar, when you first started talking there, you thought, oh, wow, the Avalanche got beat like 6-2 last night. No, they lost in overtime. Tough break in that they had a power play in overtime and then gave up a shorthanded goal to lose it, which is the odds of that happening are pretty astronomical. But be that as it may, hey, they're still undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
If you had told me to start off this road trip, go through Washington, go through Pittsburgh, and come away with 3 out of a possible 4 points, I'd say sign me up. So I'm good. And guess what?
What?
I got to watch hockey. I got to watch Avalanche hockey last night.
I know, but don't
you feel like... who are these guys?
Don't you feel like maybe, just maybe, you should not put their games on television? They're undefeated when they're not on television.
Good point.
They're defeated when they are on television.
Good point.
Mike.
Good point. So, excellent point. I can't argue with that logic. Let's just keep them off TV.
I think that's the key factor.
That's the key factor. Keep them off TV.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see at the Stanley Cup Parade. We'll be like, who are these guys?
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
That'll be the introduction Denver.
Right. Who's this Donskoy guy that's waving at me from the parade boat? All right.
Donskoy.
See?
Donskoy.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew.
It sounds like a submarine. The name of a submarine.
And every morning at 6:30, James Merrillat. See if you can put a happy face on this Broncos game tonight. That's next.
Got to play music befitting of the importance of this game.
Importance of this game. I'm disappointed, Benny. I mean, I had the Lion King love song was the.
Don't you?
And
there it is. There it is, Mike. There it is.
You want to reset what this is all about? James Merrillat's on hold. He's wondering what this is all about. What,
I don't even remember
where
what
this
I
come
had.
From?
I don't know. I was the way. I don't even remember what I was talking about. Somebody reminded me of the way Simba and Nala looked at each other. What was that? Do you remember what I was talking
what
about?
What was that? God. So, once the segment's over, I move on.
Yeah, me too. Oh, during the Super Bowl's parade.
Oh, that's
the
right.
When the fans were looking at Brock. And Brock was looking at the fans, knowing he was about to get paid, he was going to leave.
Yeah.
And it was like Simba and Nala when they rediscovered each other. That's what it was like.
God.
I'm getting emotional thinking about it.
The future just seemed untapped, unbridled at that moment at that parade for Brock. And then...
Yep. Now he's going to spend the rest of his life doing nothing.
Yeah, spending money.
And it's going to be everything he thought it could be.
Yeah, he's just going to spend that $40 million he made. All right, James Merrillat from 1043thefan.com joins us now. Yeah, James, how do you look back and remember good old Brock?
You know, for the most part, Brock is, I think, of, you know, fond memories. He came in, he had a big impact in that 2015 season, won some big games. That Patriots game, it's pretty hard to forget here in the snow when CJ scored in overtime. So mostly positive. I do look at him, though, and think, man, one bad decision, and he got paid, so I don't know how bad of a decision it was, but one bad decision can really derail a career because he was set up pretty good to stay here, know the system, know his teammates, and try and defend a Super Bowl title with the Broncos, and instead, you know, got a little bent out of shape and decided to chase the money elsewhere. So I think in terms of his career, that was a mistake, but in terms of his bank account, I'm sure he's not regretting it too much.
Yeah, I don't know how big a mistake that was because I think he would have eventually been exposed for what he is, you know, a backup quarterback. And I think that, well, I mean, I think right now you think about him with fond memories, and we talked about the Super Bowl parade and all those things. Come on, he came in, people didn't have a book on him, he played 6-7 games, and then all of a sudden Peyton Manning came back and we won a Super Bowl. Like, I don't know that could have been, I don't think it would have ended as well had he stayed here for $16 million a year. I think he would have just been another guy that John Elway overpaid. I think that's how it would have ended. Am I wrong in that?
No, I think you're right. I do think, though, you know, just the being in the right situation and having things kind of snowball a little bit in a positive direction and confidence. I mean, those kind of things can go a long way. So, you know, I think the Broncos would have avoided 9-7, 6-10, 5-11. But, you know, probably about right now, you're right. Everybody would be talking about how they're paying Brock Osweiler too much and it's time to start looking at another quarterback. So lo and behold, at the end of the day, we would have been having quarterback debates either way. I think you're probably right about that.
James, just how much of a defining moment type game is this tonight?
Oh, it's huge. It changes the direction of the season, good or bad. If you win, hey, you're in this thing and you're keeping guys and you're, you know, Joe Flacco stays behind center and heck, you may even be a buyer at the trade deadline if the right guy is out there because you think you have a shot of making a run at the AFC West. If you lose, we're all talking about, hey, turn the page to 2020. When does Drew Lock get on the field? Chris Harris Jr., Emmanuel Sanders, Derek Wolfe, are they on the trading block? I mean, yeah, it defines the season. And it's, you know, they came into the year kind of with a foot in each camp. They were sort of all in on trying to win in 2019. That's why they gave Chris Harris Jr. the free $3 million. But at the same time, the Broncos were kind of in rebuild mode. At some point, they got to pick a path. They're going to get their path chosen for them tonight, win or lose.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's such a big game, James. Obviously, for so many different reasons. So, all right, let's say they do lose this game, and you've said they go on and do that. But let's say because Mike and I have had this debate that. That Flacco still plays well. Like, Flacco gives him a chance. Let's say it's a shootout, 31-34, and they end up losing to Patrick Mahomes, makes it unbelievable plays. Even if they lose that way, do you pull the plug and you say, hey, let's see what Drew Lock's got when Drew Lock is healthy enough to play?
Yeah, because I think the rest of the team is going to be heading in the youth movement direction. You know, I think if you're 2-5, this is a group that you're going to try and bring back in 2020 and build upon it. It's not a, if this group goes 7-9, I don't think they're all coming back in 2020 to try and, you know, jump to 10-6. It's just Chris Harris Jr. is going to move on. Wolf, Emmanuel Sanders, a lot of guys are going to move on. So at that point, when you've turned the page to the young guys at so many other positions, I think you should just go ahead and do quarterback at the same time. Why have a veteran quarterback with a team that is rebuilding in so many other places? So, I tend to be with Mike on this one, Stink. I have a hard time figuring out how Flacco is going to play well and they're going to be, 2-6, 2-7. But, I think either way you turn the page and you see what you have in the kid.
All right. Give us a prediction.
You know what? You know me, guys. I'm always positive. So I'm going to go Broncos tonight. I think they get it done. I think it's 24-21. I think it's going to be a nail biter, but, Vic Fangio 4-1 when he's had his defense against Andy Reid. So, I think that pattern continues tonight.
Interesting stat. All right, James, thank you. You can check out James Merrillat and his outstanding work at 104.3 The Fan. com. I wanted to read this text. I promised this texter, who I think is an 8 a.m. texter who got up early just for this. Here was the text he sent in. I got up early just to hear you guys sprinkle pixie dust on this crap team.
That's an 8 a.m.
That is an 8 a.m. texter right there. We're sprinkling pixie dust on this crap team. I don't know, Millennial Ben, can you find any, like, sprinkling pixie dust music? Is that what we're doing? Is that we're guilty of? Sprinkling pixie dust music all over this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wobegon football team.
It sounds nice, though.
That sounds nice. Yeah. Very soothing. Very soothing. Not quite like the Lion King music, but soothing nonetheless. No. All right. Mark gives us his keys to victory next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.